Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Our 3-day core challenge is open now for you to join in. Sign up and you'll get direct access to daily core-focused classes.
Yes, and they're both Pilates and yoga. Mm-hmm. And they're really short, literally less than 10 minutes.
Exactly. So if you think you don't have time to work out, then
you're
wrong. You do, because these are online, on demand. You can do them from the comfort of wherever you are, whenever you want. So come and join us for our 3-day core challenge. Head over to themerrymakersisters.com/core-challenge and sign up. This is episode 280 on the Get Merry podcast, and welcome to the second episode of 2021.
I love how we're just kind of like...
We had a false start.
I like it. It's nice. You know, less worries.
Yeah, of course. We're really excited always to create these podcasts and to just chat about real life stuff and I guess how we approach it and the things that we learn.
Mm.
Really, yeah. Just to make us feel not alone and you not alone.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, we really just chat about the things that come up in our lives, I guess. So you guys just come along for the journey with us.
Yeah, and I mean, so often we get messages from you saying that you've experienced the exact same thing. And I think, like, this is the magic of online connection.
Yeah.
Like, we can hear other people's stories and we get to connect with them. And, yeah, in a time that is really making connection harder real life for a lot of us, not so much where we live.
Yeah, we're very lucky.
We're very lucky. But that's why I think using podcasts and connection in groups, wherever you find it online, is like so powerful.
Definitely.
But this got us thinking because we had this conversation with a friend and she started telling us about her business idea. And we were really excited for her and very supportive and were offering advice and little things that we'd learned along the way from literally the first conversation that we'd had about this idea. And it got us thinking about supporting others and how important it is and ways that we can do that. And it also got us questioning, like, why don't we do that sometimes? Us personally. If you want to follow your bliss and talk about your business to us, we're going to be like your number one fans. But we've experienced, I guess, the alternative.
Yeah, it's like some people might just completely ignore the fact that you are doing something, creating something, starting a business, maybe a creative project, whatever it might be. Activism. Is that how you say that word? You know, like if you're passionate about something and you're being an activist. There we go.
I think it is activism.
Yeah, is that how you say it? Yes. Good. Glad we clarified that. You know, whatever you're doing and you're sharing it, maybe in a public domain, whether it's online or in real life, and you have those friends or family members that completely turn a blind eye to it. Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
And we don't know why this happens.
Why is that?
But we wanted to just like bring it up and I guess share the fact that we've experienced that and that it, for some reason, it's quite common. And I know we've done an episode on tall poppy syndrome before.
Yes.
And if you want to scroll back to that, it is a great episode because I feel like we do really touch on this.
We'll add a link to it in the show notes as well.
Because I think it's we delve a lot deeper into maybe reasons why people try and cut you down when you're kind of rising up. Not sure if you can hear that, but there is a guy riding a tractor outside of this window and now he's gone. Excellent.
He might be back.
He might be back. Yeah, so go ahead and listen to that. But let's talk about support and why it's important to support your friends when they might be doing something out of the ordinary, or not even out of the ordinary. They want to do something different, new, it might fresh.
It might be just that they've opened up a cafe.
Yes.
It could be something completely not like something crazy. It's just like they've opened up a business.
Mm. And it could be that they're like become an accountant.
Yes. And I think, you know, this is just our reminder to support our friends and family or whoever it might be, even acquaintances. If we can choose to do our business with them, we should, even if it is more expensive, because we're helping them build a business. Mm. And how epic is that? We're showing them that we believe in them.
Mm-hmm.
By our purchase.
Mm.
I mean, anyone who we have known, friend, past school friends, who have bought a product from us, it's like the most amazing feeling ever. And, you know, like we've sold many products, but when we still get that person that has been in our paths, our lives before we started, it's like insane. Or like, for example, like you know, Damiano, one of his friends in Italy bought Mary Body. And I was like, it made me feel like it makes you feel something. Like really, like, I don't know what the feeling even is. Like, but it's really nice.
Yeah. And I think it's because I guess you feel almost like seen.
Yeah.
Or acknowledged.
Valued.
Yeah. And I think because like words and, you know, when people like give you like, what is that word? Like accolades? Like when they talk about like, oh, you've done so well. Like that's amazing. Like, wow, you're really like doing good with this.
Yeah.
Like we get a lot of that, right? We get a lot of words thrown at us. And not a lot. But when like that's
I'm like, do we get a lot of that? I don't know.
No, I mean like when we're catching up you know, people or like we haven't seen them in a while and you're having a conversation.
Yeah, true.
And like the conversation would go something like this. How are you? They tell us about their life. Yeah. And then like, how are you? Like, it looks like you're doing so good. Like you've taken this business like so far. Rah. Doesn't really give us a moment to even share what we've done because they know everything, right, from social media.
That you know nothing.
But that's usually like the, I guess, the level of support. So when it is a purchase, when they've gone and chosen to do it without even telling us, like when you just see the name pop up and you're like, oh my.
It's like, I know that person.
I know. And then you question it like, I wonder if it is them. Like, I wonder if they just have the exact same name and they live in the exact same place as them.
And then you kind of like freak out as well. But I think it's like, I don't know what it is because, you know, it's an amazing feeling when anyone purchases a product. But it just is a different feeling, I guess, sometimes, when it's someone you know.
Yeah, I think with like business sometimes, and especially with the online world, it's easy to think that, wow, that business is doing so good, they wouldn't even notice me buying this.
Yeah, true.
I think a lot of people would think that. Yeah. Like a lot of people would be like, they wouldn't even notice. It's like, no, like we notice like every single thing. And I think that's why we're different in that. Like, you know, our members are the most important part of Mary Body. Like,
They are Mary Body.
So, like, we look at who joins each week and we look at their names and where they're from and what country they're from and kinds of things like this. Like, we're very connected to them.
We try as much as possible to do that.
Yeah. So I think that's why I think some people would get the impression that we wouldn't know.
Or other businesses too.
Yeah, and then like other businesses, like even, for example, like if you bought a candle from a friend who's making candles, like you might think they might not even notice, like they're just sending out candles and putting address labels on.
Yeah.
No, that person would notice.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And they will be so grateful.
Yeah. And I think, that is one thing that you really can do to show support is like where are you making your purchases? And I remember, like, someone reached out to us and they were making, like, a drink thing. And they were like, oh, I just wanted to share that I'm making this drink and maybe you'd be interested in it. Like, they weren't asking us to buy it. We'd known this person from, like, the blogging world. Weren't asking us to buy it. And I was like, this is actually really cool that you're doing this. I'm going to buy some. didn't tell her I'm going to buy some.
Yeah.
Like, and then she realized, oh, wow, like, you just, like, I'm so grateful. Like, yeah. Thank you so much. And really, where you put your dollars does show the biggest support, especially when it comes to business, because business is 100%. Hard.
Yeah. It really is. And it's a big risk as well. It's a huge risk.
Yeah.
Because you're putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. So there's the risk of failure, which is maybe one of the deepest fears of humans. You kind of get used to it, though, when you start doing risky business or, like, you know, you keep going and then it's not as scary.
It's just normal.
You don't fear failure when you realize, actually, like, I failed so many times and here I am, fine.
Yeah.
I'm great, I'm actually.
I'm still okay.
I'm better than ever. But, yeah, of course, and then there's the risk financially, emotionally, mentally, and even physically. Like, there's so much stress that is involved with a business. And this is why, I guess, also, like, sometimes small businesses put up their prices, like, because they have to, because they have to make some kind of profit.
Yeah.
And, of course, like, say it's, like, a locally made piece of clothing, there's going to be more overheads on that piece of clothing than the mass-produced, fast fashion bought in something like, you know, a shop that's in every shopping mall made in wherever it is, India, China, using very, like, paying very small rates for slave labor.
Yeah.
And sometimes we support that. It's like if we really knew the path that got that item of clothing to the shop and into our hands, would we actually purchase it? Probably not.
And it's actually unbelievable that it's only $15.
I know.
But, yeah, so definitely choose wisely where you spend, because not only do you receive something, but you give something by spending. Like, it's that, it's also when I buy locally or when I choose to buy, like, from a small business, not only do I get something, like, I feel really good about it.
I think it's like, maybe this is a really good goal for me and you, Carla, that this year we really focus on that. Because I know, like, there's definitely clothing. I mean, even, like, our activewear. Like, we could look at more local.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a bunch of brands here. But also look where they get it made too. Yeah. Because just because it's local doesn't mean they are ethical and sustainable. Yeah. And maybe we care about that too. We probably should.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we should totally do that. And I think January, good time to start a goal for the year.
Yeah, and I think it feels more fun as well, like when you go to those little stores and you find, like, the designers or you find that local product or even the food products, like making sure you go to restaurants that buy local farm produce and things like that.
True.
I feel like it feels so much better. You feel like you're giving as well as receiving. So it's like a win-win. So the next thing I want to talk about is, like, where on our journey we've received – help in the idea of, like, a mentor, but not an official mentor, because we've never really had an official mentor. Like, we've never been like,
no,
they're our mentor. We're going to catch up every week. We've never had that, but we've had these figures in our life that kind of just float on in and they just appear and they're just there and they want to help us and they're very supportive and, like, they see our vision, like, they see it and they believe it. And I feel like we're at a point now where, like, I like doing that for other people too.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I know not everything, but I have, obviously, always more to like, but we have, like, this experience that we can pass on lessons. Like, we received, like, when we receive, like, big lessons and we're like, oh, my God, that makes so much sense.
And it really is when you look back and you realize how profound that one line of advice might have been. And, I mean, that's what it is.
Like, the weirdest thing is that they're still stuck with us.
I know. Like, I've never forgotten them. And it's like I can literally, like, photographic memory back into that point and hear them say those words again.
Do you think we should talk about the ones that we've
Well, I think so, but I'm pretty sure we've already done it on the podcast about a million times.
It's fun to do
times.
A recap.
Yes.
Like, just off the top of our minds, like, those photographic moments of those one-liners. Like, definitely in New York. Joshua Rosenthal.
Yeah.
Look sideways.
Yeah, that epic helped us so much to look sideways. No one is below us. No one is above us.
We're all one.
Yes.
Ken.
We had lunch with him in Canberra. He came over, didn't he?
Yeah, we made him like epic salad.
And he said, he said, story is the most important thing. Share your story. Have a memorable story. Connect your business, your product, whatever it might be, whatever you're striving to do, connect it to a story and know it off by heart.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay, we literally, like, after that lunch, we practiced our story. We
even practiced, like, okay, you'll say this part. Yeah. And I'll say this part.
And that's how we became so good at storytelling on podcasts and, like, being great at getting interviewed. And this is so helpful to share your message or your product. And also when you're meeting in real person, if you're not in a place where you can do that yet because of COVID, it'll come one day. Where we can go network and tell your story.
That'd be so exciting. I know. Like, all these times that I've, like, really dreaded networking events. I'm like, get me to the networking event. I want to talk to real people.
Exactly.
So I think another one is Brian Clark, where so he took us out for lunch. So nice. He was on the Gold Coast and he just, like, we messaged him on Instagram and he was like, let's go for lunch. Like, okay. He said, how big do you really want to be? Like, how big do you want your business to be? Because the bigger you become, the more families you need to feed. As in, like, he had 80 staff. That's 80 families to feed. And it really made us think about our goals and what actually comes along with reaching those goals as well. Not just, oh, yeah, we want to this many staff and this big of a business and this office and this and this and this just because we think we want it. It made us think more about, oh, well, actually with that also comes this.
Well, it's like the more growth you have, your bigger problems get too. Yes. The bigger your problems get. So sometimes, like, growth isn't always growth. Like, it might be growth in one area, but that means maybe your stress levels go up or that, you know, your problems just get bigger and bigger, which is so true, really. Mm. And fair enough if that's still your goal. For us, it made us really think and check in and question, okay, like, what's most important to us? What is most important is sharing a message and creating a product that positively impacts people, but it's also creating, like, healthy lives for ourselves too.
And it's also creating a business that has integrity and shares messages that are honest and true.
Yeah.
And I think this is a really big thing, and not just the stories that we tell, but, like, in every aspect. Like, for example, if, you know, we're having a launch, like, we want to be honest about that launch with, like, how many spaces are available, what time does this close, that kind of thing. Like, and if it closes at midday, it closes at midday. And, of course, there's, like, some tech issues where you, like, don't turn it off or, like, it doesn't turn off. That's fine. But, like, if you've got, like, a certain amount of spaces or it's closing at a certain time, you stick to those words.
And I'm going to say that we've definitely left sales be longer than the time frame we've said.
Yes, but it hasn't been like this is a closed and then, oh, no, it's open now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when you have like a, like, I'm saying we don't do it anymore. One time we tried,
we did do it
with the waitlist thing, remember?
Yes.
And it wasn't like it was a strategy and we didn't like that. It didn't sit well with us. And sometimes you have to cross the line to know where your line is.
That's very true. That's extremely true. Sometimes you do have to, like, go over there and you'll be like, oh, this doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you are in a marketing space, when you're selling a product and, like, yeah, be proud of selling your product, especially when there's integrity there and especially when you're proud of it, like, boom, go for it. And it's helping people, like, yes, sell it. You need to sell it.
Yes.
But there's many, many ways and techniques of selling stuff that is murky and feels yuck, and we've learned about them and we've experienced on, you know, getting sold to that way, and we have, like, big, like, kind of like radars for it now. BS radars. Yeah, that's BS. We're
skeptics.
Yeah, we've turned into actual cynical skeptics. We don't believe anything anymore. We're like, wait a minute, you're just selling us something. We question it all. And, you know, like, before we started a business, we were marketers' dreams. We would get fed something, we'd believe it. Mm-hmm. And I think back to old me, young me, I should say. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, thank God I learned about marketing because I just don't know what I would be like these days.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, learning marketing actually helps you navigate,
yeah,
like and, life more.
And this is why I also feel like we got so interested in psychology and, like, you know, the connection of psychology and selling. Like, there's a huge connection there. I mean, I've looked at documentaries that are all about, you know, the rise of advertising, and it's fascinating how advertising became a thing. And what did they use? Psychology.
Yeah, wow.
Like, they got into our minds. And, like, it's cool when it's a great thing, but when they're selling something like, you know, cigarettes, not so cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, maybe back in the day it was cool, though. See?
Yeah,
see?
It's hard because, like, yeah, did they know about the risks back then?
Well, I think they – I can't remember exactly, but – probably not right at the start, the health risks.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure they knew pretty soon.
And then they just made the models smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, well, that's how they got women to smoke cigarettes. Yeah. They got them to walk in the New York parade, whatever famous parade. Not a catwalk, a parade.
Or like the, yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like
down the street.
Yeah, down the street. Yeah. They were like smoking in their high fashion, and the next minute all the women were buying cigarettes. It's like, holy moly.
It's so interesting to think back to that day. Like, would that happen now?
It probably is happening all the time.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Think about Instagram and the influencers who literally they share a product and how many people flock to their phones and buy it. And it's even scarier because it's instant, because now you're getting the marketing on your device where you can make the direct purchase on your device where there's a direct link. So
you don't even need to walk to the store.
If you're living with no awareness, if you're not connected to your inner self, if you're forever just taking advice from others and not questioning it, boom, you're going to buy it.
So true. We went on a tangent.
And you're going to believe whatever they promise. It's like, if this person is promoting this protein and they have washboard abs, like, somewhere in your psyche, in your brain, links the two.
Yeah.
That protein powder gives those abs, or she does that, he does that. Yeah. I like them. I want to be them.
Mm.
And this is why social media is awful. But also great, but mostly awful.
Yeah,
depends how you use it.
Exactly. Okay, so let's go back to the topic of today's conversation, which is support. So we've talked, and we were talking about the one-liners of our mentors that aren't really mentors that have really stuck with us. I think, like, I'm trying to think of any others that we missed, but they're probably the top three.
Well, I think, you know, like, on the same topic. You know, like, what I think who we learned this marketing stuff from to, like, not be do the dodgy thing, that was Dan Norris.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to mention it.
Yeah, but, like, he definitely helped us, like, be clear on our, like, you know, what's right, what's wrong, like, get in touch with your values.
Yeah.
And I think
he had very, very, like, his line was, like, here's my line, I'm never crossing it.
Yeah. And
it was very inspiring, like, to see that. It was inspiring,
but also, like, for us, it was, like, okay, we don't. That's not our line.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we kind of hopped on that line, and then it's like, wait a minute, like, now we're just following you.
Yeah, we have, like, we can make our own line.
Yeah, and that's really important. Whenever you get advice, even our advice, question it at all. I mean, that was another.
That was another one.
What's his name? Who told us that?
Question everything.
What's his name? James Shramko.
Oh, right.
He told us that.
Why are all these people men?
I know. I know, Carla. I know. Strange. Anyway, so, yeah, question everything. That really helped us.
That's why I want to be a woman who...
You want to be a woman? You're already a woman. Good job.
Well, thank you. Okay, I am a woman. Who gives other women the support that maybe I felt at times I didn't receive.
Yeah, well, I think... For some reason in the land of women, sometimes that whole, like, you know, bitchiness and it's like, oh, there's not enough space. And I don't know what teaches us that as a gender. And I'm not saying it's anyone in particular. I don't think it's us.
I already know what it is and it's Cheryl.
Oh, yeah.
What's her name? Cheryl
Strandberg. Sandberg. Who wrote
Lean In. She talked about this and why women do this. It's because of the patriarchy.
It's the men.
It's the men. Because men were all in the leadership roles, right? And then when a woman did get into the leadership role, it was like there was only one allowed one. Like there's a space for one and that's it. And that's why everyone felt like they had to hold on to it.
And like
and not give it to anyone else.
And it was like
and not share it because I'm finally in. Oh my gosh, it took me this long to get in.
That's so
there's
true.
No way I'm giving it up. And there's no way I'm even gonna help you come even close to this top. So that's kind of I feel like I know she wrote about that and I get that because, you know, it was in – if we look at the history of women in the workplace and in the workforce and in business, it was a man's world.
Yeah, I think it's really important for us women to, like, get rid of this kind of cliche.
We've got to let
the
go of
bitchiness it. And, like, I'm not – like, we're all responsible. We've all done it in our lives and maybe we did it yesterday. I don't know. But it's like, okay, going forward, let's not be like that.
Yeah.
And let's be supportive even if it's like – I don't know. It's like sometimes you are supportive of your clique even. And it's like no, like it needs – we need to branch out further.
Yeah. And I think it really is – remembering that there's space for everyone to succeed.
Yeah, it's
and
not a competition.
It's not a competition. Like, actually, what would be better is if, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. And I don't know who said it, but it's true. So when you rise and you support other people, like, they can rise too. And there's so much room for everyone to stand in their own light, to be in their own lane. Like, you know, everyone's in their own lane. Everyone can go as far as they want to go. And I think remembering that allows us to be more supportive.
Yeah, I think it's like also a fear thing, isn't it? It's like when you think you can't support someone because it's competition, it's just fear.
Yeah.
So it's like choose love instead. Choose to be supportive.
Yeah.
Realize that that's just your initial reaction and that's okay, but then you can see the truth that actually you can be supportive.
Yes.
And actually them succeeding is succeeding for everyone and especially in business and especially for women in business. Any woman who succeeds, we should be celebrating, not feel jealous. Jealous is it's a weird human, what do you call it, emotion. I don't know. We should talk to Miriam more about jealousy because it's like a stupid emotion, I feel, isn't it?
Is it an emotion?
I don't know. What is jealousy?
Okay, next topic for resident psychologist Miriam who will come on the podcast soon.
Like we always talk about, we should do it.
What is jealousy?
And why do we feel it?
Why are we jealous?
And how do we not feel it?
Oh, that's really good. I feel like how do you not feel it? It's like self-acceptance.
Yeah, and realizing that, like, you should just, like, focus on what you're doing and the actions
of others. And stay in your own lane.
And don't compare yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wait, guys, we just did it. Okay.
But I'd still like to know, like, is it an, like,
what
is it? Like,
well, it's one of those, isn't it, like a
sin? Isn't it?
It's like, we know nothing about the Bible, okay? It was one of those seven deadly sins.
So you die from it?
Well, I don't know. I never read the Bible. Clearly. Do you know what I remember the seven deadly sins? Remember when Magnum, the ice cream, marketed?
Yeah.
They used marketing, the seven deadly sins.
I remember of this.
Magnums. This is hilarious. They used like a biblical thing as a marketing to
and
eat
it was
ice
like
cream.
Women in the.
Well, like the lust, obviously.
The lust
is
was
one.
Like, you know.
The sexy woman.
The sexy woman with the juicy lips eating the Magnum.
This is hilarious.
I'm pretty sure I went out and bought Magnum.
Of course we did. I wonder which
like,
one we bought.
Mom, can we get the Magnum Egos?
No, that was a different one.
Yeah, but Magnum Ego, like, what's that about?
Oh, yeah, true.
Build your ego up by eating this Magnum.
Oh, my. Guys, this is not a promotion for Magnum.
Clearly.
But you're all probably wanting and craving a Magnum now.
Look, in my opinion, if you haven't yet tried the Panna ice cream pops, they are so good. And again, this is not sponsored, but that is so yum.
Oh, my God. They're too good.
Like the chocolate almond ones are out
I
of
haven't
control.
Even had
you're,
that
you're
one.
Crazy.
I know.
You have to go
Can
get
you
them.
Buy me one?
Okay, next box I buy because, guys, there's only three in a box, which I think is a little silly.
Like
it should
four.
Be four because then it's like if you're with your boyfriend or your sister
or your partner,
your significant girlfriend other. Or your whatever, whoever, your friend. You have one each and then there's one left over and you're or just sharing.
And if you're just with yourself, you get four nights of ice cream.
Instead of three.
Which is better.
Agreed.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Tangent.
This is just a strange amount for an ice cream box.
This really bothers Carla, I can tell. I never realised how much it bothers her.
Should be even. Or five. Five or four.
When it comes to ice cream, more is more.
So is there anything else we want to add? Obviously,
there's probably so much.
Obviously, our mission now, as we were talking about, is like it really feels good to pass on, you know, these little things or big things that we've learned. Like when someone's like, I want to start this, blah, 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 blah. Like it feels really fun to say, oh, like that's so exciting. Just so you know, like this happened with us, like here's how to avoid it.
I was just thinking about it. Like, you know what also is funny when someone is like, you know, really excited to start something and you're really excited, like I want to support them. But then afterwards I'm like, oh. They're in for an epic journey. And I think about, like, you know, the difficult road.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And I wonder if all these people, like, you know, back in our journey, these men thought, like, they're in for an adventure. Like, and it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
And I wonder, you know, we didn't need to hear those words.
No.
I think we did sometimes. Like, Dan would tell us it's hard.
Yeah.
I think he was pretty open about that. I don't think anyone else really shared much about it. But, like, I wonder if that's helpful or not.
Everyone made it look easy. Oh, multi-million dollar business looks easy.
But did you really think that? No.
It was never the easy road.
No.
Because, even the beginning. But there was always flow involved.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I can, hands down, absolutely, there was always flow. And, like, that's why I think we kept going, because it was like, I can feel this. Like, it was like a feeling. It wasn't like – it was a knowing. And we've talked about this before. Like, even when everything was up some kind of poo creek, I just knew.
I know, to keep going.
And I was like, it's just around the bend. It's just around the bend. It's just under our nose. It's just a –
the obstacle is the way. Yeah. But that's – I think what I don't know if we worked on it just before, or maybe we always have had a strong mindset. Our mindset was made for business.
I think I was thinking about today about how we used to swim.
Yes.
And we, from a very young age, from like age 10 for me and 13 for you, Emmy. But we swam before that. But then we started squad training. And like this was like very intense for these young girls to just like show up to the pool, do like 7K in the morning, maybe 7K in the afternoon. Sometimes we do doubles. It was so insane. And it made me think like a few things that we've learned. A is like commitment and persistence. Like when you're in a squad training, even when you're like so out of breath and you simply feel like you can't do another 100 meters, but the set says 10 times 100 meters at the 1 minute 30 or the 1 minute 20 or the 1 minute 10. And you're just like, oh my God, like I've got to keep going and I can't let that person touch my heels with behind me. So you just like get this idea. So it taught us that persistence and commitment. But one other thing that I think was a bad thing that it taught me. And I was like, I was driving in the car today thinking about this. I was like, why do I always think that faster is better? Or why as a kid and why as like a young adult and even like going into my 20s, now I've like learned to slow down. But why did I always think doing things faster is better? Getting things done faster is better.
Swimming.
You got to get a PB. You got to be faster than yesterday.
Yeah, and that was all from you.
Because I had this little PB book in the interview.
Did we? Did I?
Yeah, you had a PB book. Oh, I wrote it down for you.
See, that's the difference with me and you. I don't even remember my PB book. You, like, used was to pink. Write. You wrote my PBs down.
Yeah, you were in the back and I was in the front. It was a pink spiral book.
I don't even remember this book.
It's a PB book. We needed the PB book because when you went into competitions, you needed to know how fast you could swim.
Yeah, I know, but it's so funny because clearly I didn't care about my PB.
clearly I did.
You even cared about my pee, but you're probably like, I'm going to beat Emma one day. And you did.
I did. See? Had a goal. Wrote it down.
Beat Emma. She was not competitive at all. But it was just lucky because I wasn't competitive. If we were both competitive, we wouldn't be doing this business.
No.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, I was thinking about that. And I think we learned a lot from a young age from doing, you know, those kinds of, I guess, outside of school, what do they call them?
Extracurricular.
I think it taught us a lot.
Yeah, discipline.
And another thing that taught us the mindset of, like, owning your own business is also, and the value of money and, I guess, too, was starting a job really early in life.
Oh, like,
we
yeah.
both started at age 13, and I'm so glad that I did.
Oh, it's so funny. Like, you don't realize when you're that kid in your little Friday night job how profound that's going to be in your life.
Yeah.
And then you only realize it after. And then you can reflect on it and realize just how important it is for kids to have jobs of their own, making money of their own in a world that is about money, really. Like, money is important. It's important to teach those lessons young. And whether it's a job that you give them or whether it's a job they go and seek out themselves, like, you just don't know. Like, really, like, they're the biggest lessons I've had from life, from, like, swimming and, like, from working, from my kid life. I don't remember algebra.
Neither.
I didn't even learn grammar properly at school. You taught me.
I'm when serious. When we started the vlog, I was like, so, you know, you're... It's spelled like this.
And no, I feel like
there it's spelled like this.
I just think it was missed.
I missed that week.
I don't understand how I didn't learn it. It's like, so come on. Like, that's weird, right?
And then I'm also guessing that anyone who proofread your essays didn't tell you. Me.
Yeah. Well, that's your fault, Carla. You should have. Yes, my little sister edited my year 12 work. How funny is that?
Sometimes I even wrote it.
Not all of it. Not all of it.
Definitely helped you.
Yeah, you definitely did.
On those nights. So is there anything else we want to add before we hit the stop button on this amazing podcast?
That has been so I think fun. We'll just end with, like, you know, show support where you can. Mm. And actually, like, don't even
wasn't there
wait.
A quote?
Maybe don't even wait for the opportunities. Like, seek them.
That you wanted to read? Yeah, I think I love that. And I think, you know, when someone comes to you and shares that idea, like, listen and be proud and excited and supportive of those ideas.
Yeah, all it says is not really like a profound quote. It's just like, if my friend is an accountant, that's where I'm doing my taxes. If my friend opens a bar, that's where I'm going to drink. If my friend opens a restaurant, that's where I'm going to eat.
Yeah.
Others may have better prices, but I'm helping my friends build their businesses. We will succeed together.
Mm.
And I think it's just like simple, right? And a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like almost sometimes people will, like, see their friend doing something and buy from their competitor on purpose. Like, do you think, like, that's a thing, like, that some people might do?
Why?
I don't know. I honestly, like, I just have seen that. I feel like I've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, we've had it.
Yeah. You, like, have a friend and they'll come and tell you, yeah, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And you're like, we do that. Why didn't you think to buy our product?
Yeah. Like, no, it's really true. It's very, like, interesting.
Or they'll come. Actually, they won't even tell you this. They'll tell you that they have this and they're doing this and maybe we could do that too. Like, they'll give us advice on our business from their experience
of using another.
And it's like, they don't understand that. Yeah, like, I'm all about constructive feedback. I'm open to it. But maybe you should check out our product first and then give us that advice, because maybe we already do that, or maybe we have a whole different angle. It's just really interesting.
It is. So I love that. I love that. Oh, my God, it's like rant. It's like we're not really that angry about it.
And no, and I think as well, like, I never have lost sleep over this.
No, all the reason this is for is, like, the questioning of why we humans do what we do and how can we be more supportive? How can we be more, like, happy for other people, because in being happy for others, you become happier yourself.
Yeah, it actually helps you. And this is like in general, isn't it? I think we come down to the two choices. You choose love or you choose fear. And really, this is the only question we should be asking ourselves throughout our moments, throughout our days. Are you choosing love or are you choosing fear?
Yeah.
Because when you choose love, you support.
Yeah. And the thing is that you feel love after you support, during the time you support.
Well, whenever you choose to make an action with love, that's like you reap the benefits.
Yeah.
Whereas when you choose fear, your fear grows.
Yeah.
And you feel those feelings that are not enjoyable feelings. Mm-hmm. The anxiety, the angst, the anger.
It's so fascinating.
Whereas when you choose love, you feel expansive, mm-hmm. you feel light, you feel joy-filled.
Mm.
Yeah, I choose that. But it's ongoing. Even I choose fear. Of course. I choose fear all the time. Then I'm like, what am I doing? Like, choose love.
We all do. Okay.
All right. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.